All right, everybody, welcome into the very first edition of A Pickaxe to Grind. I'm Brady Hull, host of the whole show, and listen, I talk a lot of nuggets anyway, but this is a program or a podcast that we wanted to put together strictly for 1310kfk.com. You can get it there. You can find all of our podcasts available for this. We're going to do it every single week, and really, a lot of the times we're going to dive into just the last couple of games for the Nuggets, you know, go into depth about what it was we saw, things we loved, things we didn't like. Now, pickaxe to grind, it doesn't always mean I have something against what I'm seeing with the Nuggets. Clearly, they have the possible three time in a row MVP coming up. They certainly are my favorite to finally do this thing, to win the championship. But it's going to be other things going on. I mean, there's going to be a lot of positives here, so don't let the name necessarily fool you. It's confusing. Whatever. My hooligans, my listeners, we like to get confused a little bit. But this is a pickaxe to grind, an all things Denver Nuggets podcast, where each week it really allows me to dive into what we're seeing on the floor each and every night with this Nuggets team. And then also just talk about some of the history behind what we're seeing, what went into building this team that's functioning at such a high level, especially now. I mean, the Nuggets on a three-game winning streak, and if you take away that Minnesota game, which was on a back-to-back on a weird night after that Boston game with the whole basket-fixing thing that took like 30 minutes to do, they've been rolling. I mean, they just destroyed the Los Angeleses. I guess not really the Lakers last night. If you're listening to this, by the way, it's Tuesday. They beat the Lakers Monday night, 122-109. Before that, they beat Cleveland on a back-to-back, 121-108. And then the Clippers, right before that, just absolutely throttled this team on national television, 122-91. And kind of just want to get into what we saw from those games. And let's go back to the Clippers. Just an absolute dominating performance from this team. I mean, you allowed the Clippers just 15 points in the first quarter, 17 points in the second. I mean, 32 points. You're going to only give up 32 points in the first half to a Clippers team. You know, they're around that 21, 22 wins or whatever, a few games over 500. But that was a team, or still, I think, in some people's eyes, a team that could go to the next level, could take it to the next step, could finally get past, you know, a second round of the playoffs, get to the Western Conference Finals. Who knows? It was the Clippers. Obviously, the Suns were in that mix. The Warriors are in that mix. Now Memphis is in that mix. But Denver just absolutely dismantled this team. And I just kind of want to go into what we saw in these last few games. Joker only played 24 minutes of that game. He had 12 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Obviously, those kind of numbers are not going to get it done for him at the MVP level. But this is the catch-22 of this, and I've always talked about it. At the beginning of the season, I said, Nikola Jokic is not going to win his third MVP in a row. Not this season. Because I expect Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, guys like Bruce Brown, Christian Brown, even as a rookie, Bones Highland, all of the pieces around him to step up compared to what we saw last year. So the catch-22 of that is, if all the pieces around the Joker are performing at a high level, you're not going to ask or need or even see the Joker score 30-plus, which would contend with the Luka Doncic's of the world and the Giannis's. But the positive is you're winning basketball games. Last year we saw Joker put up ridiculous numbers, but they won enough basketball games to get in the playoffs, which I still, you know, last year was kind of a miracle that this team found a way to get in. But what we're seeing now is kind of a mix of all of that. More often than not, Joker's putting up big numbers, both in the assists and the rebound totals, but also the point totals. And you saw that with, you know, the other night against the Cavs. You know, he goes off in that game and they just absolutely ran away with it, 121-108 over Cleveland. Joker had 28 points, 10 assists, and 10 rebounds. 15 rebounds and 11 assists. I was looking at the wrong one. He was just everywhere in that game. But you also had Jamal Murray with 18 points and Porter had 16. Aaron Gordon had 10 boards. You're getting production from Bones Highland and Bruce Brown off the bench with 26 between the two of them. So what's really cool to see is now we are getting into this interesting world of Joker doesn't have to do it all. So his teammates are picking it up. They're scoring more. They're doing more things like getting more boards, assists, what have you. But Joker's still getting his. So that's what's really phenomenal. And the difference between last year and this year is not really Joker like I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be Joker was going to have just as good a season as last year. But maybe we wouldn't see him averaging those 28 points or whatever he averaged last year, 27, 28 points a game. Well, now he's averaging 25 points a game, 10.8 rebounds per game, and 9.7 assists. Essentially a triple-double. And he's doing that at this remarkable rate where it just looks easy for him. He was doing that last year, but it didn't look easy for him. That's because you have guys stepping up. And really, the beauty of it is a game like last night against the Lakers. You see Jamal Murray just flat out go off for 34 points, 7 boards. And that, if you get that from Jamal Murray, you are going to be lifting your very first NBA championship trophy. That is going to happen. And I'm still a little cautious about whether or not that's going to happen on a consistent basis, because I've seen Jamal Murray be an inconsistent player. That might be who he is. I think that that's yet to be determined. He's still fairly young. He's still kind of in the beginning, heading toward the middle of that new contract that he got 2 years ago. But if you get that, it feels like a bonus, because I expect Joker, if he needs to easily pour in 25 points and be flirting with a triple-double. Now the emergence of Aaron Gordon, when he plays like he's supposed to in the paint, this team can be untouchable if Jamal's that guy. If Jamal's the bubble Murray version, and I like what Michael Malone said the other day, head coach Michael Malone, it's not necessarily about the fact that he scored 50 points. What did he do it twice against the Jazz? It's not about that. It's about how he contributes in all facets of the game, whether that's playing better defense, finding his teammates for assists. He had 4 assists against the Lakers, and getting boards. I've always said this, Jamal can set himself apart from all the other point guards in the NBA, because he's not really a true point guard, but he can separate himself from all of those guys because of his ability to board. And you're seeing kind of a new age point guard, not so much of the Steph Currys anymore. You are seeing bigger guys, and heck, it doesn't really matter who's taking the ball down the floor anymore. Is there a traditional point guard? There are some teams that have that, but Jamal in the Nuggets situation, certainly not like that. But if you're getting that from Jamal, I mean, my goodness, the sky is the limit when you're getting that kind of performance. I don't expect 34 points on a regular basis from him. I still think he's going to be a guy that's going to get you anywhere. He should get you anywhere from 18 to 25. That's what I expect him to do. So when he does come beneath that, you know, you hear that he's not playing like the bubble guy. He's still recovering. He's still mentally recovering. I think we're past that now. I am expecting greatness from him if the Nuggets want to take this next step. And that is the big question with all of this, is I know what I'm going to get from Joker. I've seen him do it against the best of the best in the league now. So who is going to be that second guy? Is it going to be Gordon? Is it going to be Porter? Is it going to be Jamal? The beautiful part of what we're seeing right now, especially these last 3 games, is I feel really comfortable saying, if you're asking me to bet on anybody in an over situation as far as point totals, I could easily make a case for Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, Bruce Brown even, Bones Highland. I can make a case for any of those guys eclipsing whatever the over is that's placed on them, 12, 13, 15, 16, 17. And that's a good thing, finally, because you feel like you have a lot of those guys that are not just waiting around for Joker to do something miraculous and find them. They're working for it. Gordon has worked harder for his dunks than I've ever seen him do in his career. But at the same time, he knows that if he puts that work in and cuts without the basketball, Joker's going to find him. And this is just the best. This is the best Nuggets team right now, today, as we speak here. It is, as I'm recording this, it's January 10th. This is the best Nuggets team right now that I've seen in a very long time. Maybe the best of all time. Now, we have half the season to go. But if you're just asking me to base what I've seen this season with all the pieces finally starting to work together, it looks like the makings of the best Denver Nuggets team we've ever seen. Last year was Joker and everybody else, and I just knew that wasn't going to be the recipe for a championship. Jamal was out, MPJ was out, Gordon wasn't playing like a dominating force in the paint like we've seen. And you didn't have, you know, Bruce Brown and KCP, both of those guys. The trade-off for Monte, now I know they didn't trade Bruce Brown, they picked him up as a free agent, but the trade-off there, if you just think about it, Monte Morris and Will Barton or Bruce Brown and KCP. I think that's an obvious one. I loved Monte Morris. And Will Barton was a guy that could dazzle you with his points sometimes, but he was just too much of an inconsistent player, not good enough defensively, not smart enough as far as his basketball IQ compared to what we're seeing with KCP and Bruce Brown. So the pieces are there. Then you add in Bones Highland in essentially his sophomore year, second year. He is electric. This guy can make plays. The thing is, can Malone contain him? And I think that's what you're starting to see is Malone really working him, coaching him up on the sidelines, coaching him hard to try to get him to be that all-around player and be a smarter player. Because I think he is, and man, he can dazzle you out there. But that's going to be on Michael Malone. And then you look at Christian Brown as a rookie. I mean, it wasn't long ago we used to say, Michael Malone doesn't play rookies. Well, Bones Highland kind of changed that. And then, of course, Christian Brown. We're seeing him. You know, he didn't play a whole heck of a lot last night against the Lakers, but you're seeing him perform at a really high level for this team as a rookie. That's going to be a nice piece down the road. Chanchar, who was drafted, back in 2017, he's been sensational. Maybe not sensational. He has been sturdy for this team. So you have three or four guys on the roster that I think you can say have the it factor. Obviously, your two-time MVP. For me, next, it's been Aaron Gordon. He's your it factor inside. Not a lot of guys can contain him when he is playing basketball downhill like we've been seeing. When he decides to settle for too many three-pointers, I don't ever want to see him shoot five in a game. I don't care how wide open he is. One or two, I'm good with that. Not even a heat check. I don't need to see a heat check from AG. But he's been overall the second-best player. But the last, if you want to go to like the last three games, kind of feels like Jamal Murray has been that guy. So there's three guys there that I think kind of have the it factor for Denver. You could say Bones Highland has the it factor. And sometimes that doesn't always mean he's the best player on the floor. He's the best player on the roster. Just there's something about him that you know he can make plays. Whether it's crunch time or not, this guy can make plays. And I think Bones is in that mix. So you got four guys. MPJ probably does have that it factor. I like his all-around game this year, though. I mean, defensively, he's played much better. Smarter, feel like he's paying more attention to detail, whether it's just gripping the basketball harder when you bring it down for a rebound, knowing that guards are going to try to come up underneath and poke that basketball out. I've seen him pay more attention to that kind of thing too, looking for his teammates, moving without the basketball. So MPJ's been good there. So I think you realistically have four or five guys that just feel like they kind of have that it factor, meaning you trust them. You trust them to produce in big ways when you need a bucket. I mean, if Nuggets are down two or whatever, yeah, odds are it's going to the Joker. But if they set something up where Joker gets the ball right below the free throw line and you want to send Gordon on a cut down low and Joker finds him, I feel very comfortable with Gordon going up to try to tie a basketball game. Jamal Murray moving around, especially lately. I feel very comfortable with him taking a final shot or so to tie a game, send a game to overtime or win a game at the buzzer. Heck, even Bones Highland in some sense, too. So I love that. You also have the grinders out there, the guys that are not as sexy. National media is certainly not going to pay attention to them. But the depth, I mean, Chanchar, Bruce Brown is so much fun to watch. I love his defensive effort. And then when he's scoring 15 points, I mean, that's a bonus right there. KCP is just a sound player. He's not lighting up the scoreboard on a nightly basis. He's not lighting up the stat sheet with assists and rebounds. He's just a steady player. Against the Lakers, 16 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds for him. Against the Cavs, 14 points, 2 assists, and only 1 turnover. So he's just a sound player that I really think that trade turned out in a great way. And again, this goes back to what you're seeing with Calvin Booth. And him just picking up where Tim Connelly left off. So the point of this podcast today, yes, we're talking about the last three games, how the Nuggets just look to be the much better basketball team. Cleveland without, I get it, you don't have Mitchell, you don't have Donovan Mitchell, so whatever, but you still beat them 121-108. You can't worry about that. Lakers didn't have LeBron. Anthony Davis is still out. Doesn't matter. They're still taking care of them. I've seen Nuggets even with Joe in the Joker era in the past, where they've gone, you know, they overlook a team because they don't have their star out there, so they don't play well. But this team has been dismantling who they've been going up against. I mean, the way that they beat the Clippers to the point where they didn't want to send their starters out to start the second half because they just knew this is going to be a long night. Let's get this game over with. That should get you really excited if you're a Nuggets fan. In the last 5 minutes of this, I just kind of want to look at how it got to this point. And, you know, I will, to this day, and I think Nuggets fans, no matter how you feel about Tim Connelly going moving on to Minnesota, Tim Connelly made so many great moves to help set this group up. And what I really like about him, too, is he's not afraid to quickly kind of admit, or he wasn't afraid to quickly admit when he was wrong. The plan was, a few years ago, if you'll remember, Emmanuel Mudiay at point guard. And then it was going to be Yusuf Nurkic as the big guy. That was kind of the plan going forward with Tim Connelly. You started to see, okay, Moutier's shot's just not going to get better. He's just not there. Yusuf is a fine player, but I don't know that he's going to be a guy we can build around. You drafted Joker. They clearly believed in Joker in some sense because you drafted him. You drafted him in the second round, albeit it was during a Taco Bell commercial, but you still drafted him, which means you believed that he could be something for your team. I don't think anybody would have predicted he'd be a two-time MVP going on his third, but here we are. Connelly saw this happening along with Michael Malone, and they said, all right, we got to move Emmanuel Mudiay out. Let's you know, Jamal Murray's not going to be a two for us. He's going to be a one. We're going to make him a point guard, and we're going to experiment with Yusuf Nurkic and Nikola Jokic. That didn't work. Michael Malone admitted that. That didn't work. So Yusuf obviously upset that he was benched. You moved on from Yusuf. And you cleared the way, you cleared the weeds for both Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray to be the guys you're building around. And then you loved Gary Harris, but he was kind of at that point where maybe he'd given you just about as much as he was going to. You worked out that trade to get Aaron Gordon in there, which makes sense. A Gordon-type player makes perfect sense for Nikola Jokic. So Tim Connelly deserves so much credit for what he was able to do in building this team. I look at the draft picks just since he was there from 2014, let's say, they drafted Nikola Jokic, number 41. The next year, Mudiay, we talked about that. The year after that was Jamal Murray. They drafted both Mudiay and Murray in the first round at 7. So you kind of, you went round again, even though you thought you had Mudiay, you went for it again, and I do respect that. The next year, old Chonchar was in that draft, 2017. They drafted him in the second round, 49th overall. The next year, Michael Porter Jr. They got him at 14. The next year, Zeke Nagy, who's getting valuable minutes. The year after that, Bones Highland. And then Calvin Booth's first draft pick as the official GM, Christian Brown. So, I mean, you look at the last few years, it's like 6 out of 7 years where there's a player from that draft that is contributing. Then you throw in, all right, we decided to move on from Will Barton and Monte Morris. We like both those players, but it's just time. You go get KCP, Ish Smith. I mean, Ish Smith hasn't been a gigantic contributor yet, but, you know, nice for your depth at guard there. But KCP has been so solid for this team. And as I talked about with the Gary Harris situation, that Gary Harris is a beloved Denver Nugget. He'll go down as a beloved Denver Nugget. That was a hard move to make, but you made it, and you got better for it. And slowly but surely, once you hired Michael Malone, you've been building this team up to be something special. And right now, we're seeing that. I feel like they are the favorite to win it all. That, I mean, it's the NBA, man, especially this day and age. There's, right now, you can look around in the league, and, you know, when Curry gets back, the Warriors are certainly going to be a threat. Memphis is the same record as the Nuggets. They're a threat. The Pelicans continue to do crazy things, man. They're 6-4 in their last 10. Luka and those Dallas Mavericks. I'm just saying, there's good teams in the NBA, so it's not like going to be an absolute crazy disappointment to me if the Nuggets don't win it this year, win their first ever title. But I do expect them to go deep. I think anything less than a Western Conference Finals appearance is going to be a failure. This team, they've been to the Western Conference Finals 3 times. Alex English's Denver Nuggets, Carmelo Anthony's Denver Nuggets, and of course, Nikola Jokic in the Denver Nuggets when they were in the bubble, which the bubble, if I'm going to put an asterisk on the bubble for the Lakers, then I have to put it on for the Nuggets. So it doesn't really feel like they've had a real Western Conference Finals berth. So then begs the question, as we round this out, you know, what does that pressure look like for Michael Malone? All he can do right now is win the regular season. Start pulling away a little bit, but there will be pressure on him to get to the next level. Because I've made this comparison on the whole show, weekdays 11 to 2 on KFKA. I've said this a million times. Is this the Mark Jackson Golden State Warrior situation? Where Mark got him going, He got some good stuff out of his talent, out of the Splash Brothers, out of Draymond Green. Couldn't get him over the hump. You hired Steve Kerr. For whatever reason, that worked beautifully, and they've won, what, 4 or 5 championships since then. Is that the situation for the Nuggets? I hope not. I'm a big Michael Malone fan. It's hard not to be. I like how he coaches. I like the way he handles himself. Seems like a good dude. Certainly a great basketball mind. But at the end of the day, when you see him coaching up Bones Highland and coaching him hard, you have to wonder, as a head coach in the NBA, are you pushing all the right buttons to get the best out of your stars? Can you get the best out of Jamal Murray? Because I see the ability. The skill set looks like it's there. Can you get the best out of him on a nightly basis? Can you keep Aaron Gordon in the paint? So all of these things we're talking about leading us to what we're seeing right now, they've been building it, man. This franchise, this team has slowly been building. Last year, the injuries knocked this team back a step, but they've taken 2 steps forward. But it won't matter if they get bounced in the first round or even lose in the second, early in the second round. I expect this team to go to the Western Conference Finals, and now what I expect this team to do is start putting some distance between themselves and some of the lower-tier, middle-tier Western Conference teams. Coming up, you've got the Phoenix Suns on Wednesday night. We'll do another one of these Tuesdays, so the games in front of us that we can analyze and talk about. Phoenix Suns, Los Angeles Clippers, who you just waxed the other night, and then the Orlando Magic. Good chance you can win all 3 of those there. Phoenix is at home. So you're looking at the next 3 games, you can get to win number 30. And with the way the Suns situation is, I mean, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, I mean, they're battered and beaten. They're bruised. I don't know when those guys are coming back. So the next 3 games, I expect when we fire up this podcast again, you're going to be talking about the Denver Nuggets looking at wins number 28, 29, and 30 when we get to this thing. And that's when you can start pulling away. They've survived a very tough portion of their schedule. I went back to, what was that, November, where they're on the road so much. I even said at the beginning of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if this team's under 500. They've certainly surpassed everything that I thought they would do in November. It's not to say I didn't think they could win a championship. I just thought the road schedule and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. working themselves back in was going to be a lot for November, but then they'd bounce back in December. Well, now I feel like they're ahead of the game, sitting at 27-13 with a prime opportunity. The next 3 games that we'll talk about when we come back are very winnable. Certainly very winnable, can get you to 30-13, and that's when you start going, wow, this team's going to start turning a lot more heads. All right, folks, that's going to do it for our very first Nuggets podcast, A Pickaxe to Grind. We'll be back at this next week. I try to record these every single Tuesday. We'll be doing it all season long. Thanks for being with us here. And for more on the Denver Nuggets, obviously Broncos, CSU Rams, CU Buffs, UNC Bears, Rockies sometimes, Avalanche, all that, you can check out the whole show weekdays 11 to 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. That's going to do it for us. All right, guys, keep grinding. We'll see what this Nuggets team can do in the next coming weeks.